B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of
617-779-0985. Following up on that Russell Wilson story, Josh is in Fitchburg. Hey, Josh, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing, Josh?
Not too bad. So, Russell Wilson, I watched an interview or something on him, and he was talking about how he wouldn't mind playing baseball and football at the same time, but, like, the traveling is the issue. But, so, I wouldn't doubt New York, since they have his rights, would... I don't know if they wouldn't, he wouldn't mind going there so he could try and do both.
I know he's gone to spring training and worked out with some teams just for bleeps and giggles.
No, the Yankees have his baseball rights.
Yeah. But I don't think from a serious standpoint, does he want to juggle two sports currently? That's a new one. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago where he worked out with the Yankees? Went like down there for a week.
Yeah, wasn't it the Rangers before that?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't keep it fun. It's interested in it. And this is not, I don't think he wants to be Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders.
No.
Especially playing that position.
Being the freaking quarterback? No, you're not playing baseball.
That was a long call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. And by the way, he's not going anywhere.
Tom, is that like your brother?
I think so. I think so. I think he's staying.
Yeah. Seattle's an awesome city.
You think there's a shot of him getting out of there? I think there is no chance in hell of a franchise quarterback leaving his team in this day and age.
But, I mean, if you're a team and you're looking, though, and we're going to take a peek at one of those guys, it's one of the top guys in the league, that, oh, what's he doing with a year left? Yeah, you look at Brady, you're left, but he's 42. Like, you're not going to make a run at him. Like, we can make a run at Russell Wilson. Huh. Why do they let him hang out there like that?
Bill's in Connecticut. Bill.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How
you
doing?
Good.
How
you doing?
I'm good. Hey, look, I don't mean to bring up any bad blood or open any old wounds or anything like that, but couldn't the state train a bunch of bears and have them fight off the sharks in the water?
Oh, now you see solutions. Thank you.
Did you see the video the other day? A bear, somebody was up in New Hampshire, and the bear was on the back deck, and he had their hot tub covered. As big fat ass looks, and he picks up, looks under the hot tub, pulls off the top, and gets in. He's just and some guy put that on Facebook. Like, this just happened today.
Hardy, you got to explain to people what that is in case they don't know.
That is a guy sitting there trying to get a nice photo of a bear, and the bear comes at him for some reason. This guy thinks the command to a bear to stop attacking me is quack, quack, quack,
quack, quack, quack, quack,
that was almost a scene like...
It didn't work.
Do you see I Love You, Man? Do you see that movie, I Love You, Man?
Yeah.
When he's out and they're walking on Santa Monica.
Yes.
The pier there, and his dog takes a crap, and one guy comes after him.
Yeah.
Like the big muscle guy.
Yeah.
He screams crazy at him. Like, you've got to go back at that. Yeah, you got to go back and crazy.
Doesn't work.
But it brings up a good question. Who would win, the bear or the shark?
Shallow water? What type bear?
It's the bear. Let's go regular brown bear, because if you go grizzly, that's more northwest. You got the long claws. Are they smart enough to turn the shark upside down to where you get it in that catatonic state?
Well,
that's part of the discussion.
Are there brown bears in the northeast?
Black bears.
I said you want to go black bears. Black bear versus great white shark?
I'm going to go shark.
Yeah. How about a grizzly?
I'm going to go grizzly.
Polar bear. I'll go polar bear.
Polar bear can swim in and maneuver on land.
Polar
that thing's
bear,
badass.
Polar bear going to ruin your whole
day. Was that Russian town where they took over the Russian town, remember, two or three months ago? Just like 12 of them walking down the street.
Yeah. Yeah. Dylan's in Boston, also on Russell Wilson. Dylan.
I think that Russell Wilson would maybe want to be the quarterback of the Giants. I heard a rumor that his wife, who is the singer, wants to live there. And if you're weighing options between Seattle and New York, the fact that he is signed by the Yankees has to help the Giants a little bit.
How does that help the Giants anything?
Giants won't want you anywhere near interested in baseball.
I'm not saying he wants to play baseball, but if he's going to mess around at spring training, it might be nice for him to be able to stay at his own house.
Spring training's in Florida.
Well, good point.
You're all foolish. And how's he going to get? Explain this to me. How does he get from Seattle to the New York Giants? Anyone going to offer up that explanation? Anybody? How does he get out of Seattle?
Have to be traded.
They let him become a free agent?
They're not letting him walk.
Explain this to me like I'm five.
It's got to be a trade. Have to be a trade.
Why would they trade him?
Maybe a sign and trade. They don't want to trade him. Like I said, unless you're ready to press the reset button. You don't like the way you don't like the direction of your offense, but you have no offense if you don't have him. You really don't. You're starting to finally rebuild the defense with good young talent. They started to play well at the end. That guy played hurt and he carried your ass offensively. Like, what's Pete without him?
They don't win a Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
And they had great defense there. He wasn't the reason they won the Super Bowl, but you need a quarterback to win a Super Bowl. They have their guy.
What's that thing they say? Go Hawks, right? Go Hawks. Yep. Like, he's in line with Pete. Like, it seems like he and Pete, like, Pete runs defense, he runs the offense. That's what we do.
Brad Marchand with his 100th point of the season last night. Does he get the credit he deserves as an offensive talent? We'll discuss that coming up after the action update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub app. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody. And the Bruins exit. Over the line, right side. Here's Pastrnak. Tees it up. He scores! Pastrnak settled the puck, picked his spot, and fired a rocket inside the near post. 5-0 Bruins.
Marchand's going to get a helper. He moved the puck into the middle to Bergeron. Bergeron over to the right wing to David Pastrnak. Pastrnak's goal, Brad Marchand, first guy with 100 points. Quite a while here for the Bruins.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. The telephone number. Brad Marchand with his 100th point last night. 100-point season for him. First time a Bruin has had 100 points since Jumbo Joe, 2002-03 season was the last time it happened for the Bruins.
That's a while.
Whew. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand gets it last night, and I still don't think, despite his 100-point season, despite yet another. Very productive offensive season for Brad Marchand, that he is going to be able to change his reputation in the National Hockey League. He's always going to be known as this rat. He's not going to be known as the offensive talent that he is.
Whose fault's that?
It's his own. Yeah. He doesn't have anybody else to blame but himself. But I just think that
it's like he's paying for pass receipts.
Yeah,
you know
the idea. I mean, here are his points per season now the last 3 years. 85, 85, and 100 this year. He's not done, obviously.
All right.
He could get more. But I don't think he's going to get the credit. The credit that he deserves, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. And I think, I think we view him differently here in this market than most people do outside of it. when you get your chance in this league, you become sort of that instigator. Now, yeah, he's got really damn good offensive talent. He's actually even, you know, his shorthanded stuff's unbelievable. You know, and his ability to produce in that spot. You know, it's almost like that stuff goes unnoticed because of the face licking or the hands in the mouth or undercutting the player or taking the knees out, the chippiness or the embellishment or whatever you want to call it with him, whatever it's been over the years. And it's just kind of startling the way the game has changed to where people just skate by it. They don't engage with him anymore. There's never any back and forth. Like that old, you know, bitter rivalry stuff is gone. It's almost like, you know, and he's got to deal with it himself. Like that's the way he needs to get to motivate himself to play the game. But like nobody bites on it. People don't bite on it anymore with him. And I think we view him differently here. I still think he's like second, third most popular guy over the years consistently. You know, throw Char in, throw Char out based on the type of year and health of Char. But Bergeron's always been one. It's like Bergeron, Char, him, maybe Tim Thomas when he stood on his head back during the playoff run. Those are some pretty damn good stats over consistently. You know, and I already read him off earlier in the show. It's not like this is a blip on the radar and this is one spike year. Like he's been hovering.
No, he's been this player for three seasons now.
This is who he is. Is he going to be remembered for this? Probably not.
No.
That's just the way.
Does he need to do it two more times to get the recognition?
No, I mean, he'll get his recognition. I just think that he's still going to be remembered as that ratty.
But this is
dirty type of player.
Right. And this is perception that goes beyond and goes into like actual hockey fans. There will be actual hockey fans who have watched him play numerous games, who know the sport, and will still think of him first and foremost as he is the kindest sport I can hear, as an agitator or as a pest. Now, you go to other sports and other players and how they'll be remembered. Rob Gronkowski, by fringe casual football fans, will be remembered as an energetic, colorful, goofball type of big player, right? But you don't have to go too far into football fandom for people who will first and foremost recognize Rob Gronkowski as one of the, if not the greatest tight end to ever play the game.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yep.
But fringe people are going to think of him more as like, oh, that guy used to spike the ball and
wrong spike.
Yeah. There are going to be real hockey fans, people know the sport, who are going to remember Brad Marchand first and foremost as a guy who was
a pest. Hey, they called him a punk at the beginning.
And a pest. And not an elite offensive player, which is what he is now. Elite goal scorer, elite offensive player.
Boy, when that line's right, too.
Some of it, too, Beadle, is the way he plays. And it's not like he does it quietly, and I don't think he's got a subtle game. But, and this is literally just, you know, strictly eyeball stuff. He's small. When he moves in and around in the ice, he's not as eye-grabbing as Ovechkin or even as Crosby. You know, he does it differently, and he's still super, super skilled, but he's this, you know, small in stature player who's playing with that long stick and manages to, you know, carry this stick that's way too big.
I don't know how he hits more. How does he not hit more people in the face?
I don't know. I don't know how he does it. You know how he does it? Because he's really, really skilled, but he does it in a way, and whether they're shorthanded goals or whether they're just they're gritty goals where he's moving fast and he makes a couple of moves, but it's also quick and it's small moves from a smaller guy. It's not necessarily highlight reel type of stuff all the time. He's not that type of player. Would you agree with that? He's not making the top 10 plays for it's like, wow, did you see that move? No, it's like, how did he maintain control of that puck and get past two defenders and get around to the backside of the net and backhand that goal through? You know, you can barely see
it happen. So his skill
being
different than a pure goal scorer in some ways.
He's not a pure sniper.
Yeah, it's weird.
No.
You get so critical of it, too. And you know, even look at the way Char is criticized over the years. I mean, he's not the same type of player, but wait until the guy's gone, and you'll learn how you appreciate him. Like, is this guy going to be appreciated when he's gone?
Brad Marchand?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to miss Bergeron when Bergeron's gone. You're not going to see that in this city for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You may never see it again, that type of two-way player. And you hear the arguments with Char and his age and how he's been able to do it over his tenure. Ah, he's not that great now. Yeah? Look at the minutes that guy logs. What happens when you have problems defensively when this guy's gone? You lose that guy's stick and his reach. Are you going to miss this guy when he's gone? Are you going to miss this guy when he's gone?
That's an obvious visual absence from the ice. When you watch Kucherov score, right? When you watch Stamkos, like, wow, did you see that shot?
Oh, it explodes.
With Marchand on his goals, you
from?
Back it up and say, how the hell did he score that?
He pops it in.
Right?
It's a pop.
And that's part of the difference, too, in terms of how he's going to be talked about and remembered beyond, you know, his playing days.
It's quick and shifty, man.
But the numbers don't lie. It's obvious to anybody who watches the game and watches him night in and night out how good he is. But it's not as glaringly obvious if you're only watching him in bits and pieces.
Let's go to Chris in Plainville on the Bruins. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. So what's going on with you?
Not much, pal.
Hey, the Bruins, as far as Marchand's concerned, the guy's got a ton of strength and a ton of leverage for a little guy. The game changed at the perfect time for someone like him. 25 years ago, no chance that cat even gets a chance to make it to the NHL. With the way the rules have changed and the way the game's changed, he's now actually doing wonderful things. Him and Bergeron, you should see, it's like a thing of beauty. They all go to space between each other, and they know where the space is, and they don't even have to see it. They know what's happening behind them, and it's absolutely great hockey to see. And believe it or not, between him and Bergeron, try to knock them off their skates, and not going to happen too easily. I can tell you that much.
No, it's a great point. The way they play with each other, and the way they will go to the space where the other guy knows he is going to be in order to facilitate and
it's deliver Brady, the it's pockets. Brady Edelman like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a sixth sense.
Right.
These two guys.
That's a great analogy. So it's a perfect way of putting it. Hey, as far as the defense going into playoffs is concerned, I've kind of started this a little bit on Twitter, but I'm a big fan of Connor Clifton in a big, big way. Nothing against Miller. He's definitely tough. He's a veteran. You would think that's perfect mix for the playoffs. But until you hit a real heavy team like Washington or a West Coast team, I love Clifton. He's 100 miles an hour. He hits everything that moves. He could transition the puck way better than Miller can right now. And I think that kid could catch lightning in the bottle similar to the way DeBrus did last year. And that's my take, guys. You have a great day. Just clearing up. See you.
All right, Chris.
I'm just glad DeBrus has that TNR bump. You know, they got him on that show, and just that guy's exploded. They should put him on us. We need maybe that guy. Put him on. Get Clifton on. Get the Zone Bertrand bump. Get Char on our show. Get a Char bump. I just hope when it's all said and done that TNR gets the acknowledgement and respect that they deserve. At the DeBrus bump.
They're getting it. They got it from the Bruins. The Bruins tweeted about it.
Our station retweeted too. I woke up today, 98.5 Sports Hubs retweeting it, man. Damn.
What are you, bastards? You jealous?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because we had him on first.
He's good to have on air. He's good. That's a really good interview. Guy gets it.
You mad at someone else taking credit for the bump? You think it's really the midday bump?
I think they actually believe it. That's why he scores. Yeah. 3 points last night. Like, so you know what? One for Fred. One for Rich. Yeah, let's do an assist for Wallach. Oh, no, Wallach's not even there. We'll do it for Joe Murray. He's big. Buy him a new hat. Yeah. I'm just kidding. You knew it was coming. Every time he scores, it gets great for the Twitter. Here it comes. TNR bump. These bastards. Love our lead.
What?
I love our lead in.
Oh.
Hardy has headlines. We'll continue with your Bruins thoughts. More on the Bruins as they inch closer to the playoffs.
We had the Brusk on once.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Listen to the podcast. podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Scooped up by Nick Foligno. He tried to drive it out. Marchand got a piece of that, and then he got knocked down.
I don't know if he got the puck in his face or a stick. He's barking at the referee right now. That tells me he got a stick.
Center circle.
Ref had a pretty good look at it, too.
Puck drilled down low, and apparently the Bruins did not reach the red line, so we've got an icing call here. 15-15 left here in the first 1-0 Bruins.
I think he leads the league in these, right? Oh, he got a whack right in the face. It wasn't like he didn't sell it either. He went down. He went down hard. He got hit pretty hard. He's talking to the referee right now.
.617-779-0985, the telephone number. Brad Marchand didn't get a call last night on that play. Could be because of his reputation. Tyler in Connecticut. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So just wanted to talk about Brad Marchand a little bit. I think Zoe's actually pretty much hit the nail right on the head there. I think Brad Marchand comes to mind for me as the number two guy. You know, when people talk about Bruins, I think Brad Marchand right away. And my question to you guys is...
Sure, real quick, too. And based on the contract and the way, you know, you expect a guy to perform, shouldn't it be Krejci? You know, with the type of talent that a guy like Krejci has, and you've been waiting.
A long time since.
And it's been Marchand. Case. That's my point. Like, it's Bergeron and him. That's it.
Really? David Pastrnak doesn't factor?
No, Pastrnak does now. I'm talking the whole tenure that Marchand's been here. Like, he's been there. He really has. For me, he has.
Yeah. I mean, Krejci should be the number two guy when you look at the contract and how long he's been here. And you're right, you've been waiting. But he just hasn't performed the way that, you know, we expected him to when we signed the contract.
All right. So, again, Tyler, the question is, when Brad Marchand gets talked about 10 years from now, and not just by Bruins fans, but by everybody, what's the first thing people are going to talk about?
I think people are going to talk about his style of play and how gritty and how dirty he was.
Yep.
But I think why can't people think, you know, for me, when we talk Brad Marchand again, I think a gritty goal scorer. You know, I think somebody who is able to, you know, really get in there and get dirty and play dirty, but to get the puck, you know, Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron is one of the best dynamic duos in the hockey league right now.
Sorry to simplify it and take it to movie terms, but like the movie Slapshot, he's like one of the Hanson brothers, like one of those guys who skates around the edge. I'm going to knock your head off, but you know what? I'll put the freaking puck in the net, and we're going to go play.
Slapshot doesn't hold up, by the way.
No, it does not. I know it
doesn't hold up.
I know it doesn't.
Watch it now. It just feels dated. It's out of date. It's out of date.
It's just so funny. Poorly filmed. Like
it's
the
just not arenas. Funny like it once
it
was.
Was it, man? That's a damn good movie, though. And I beat the bus up to toughen the bus up. And he's out there hitting the bus with a bat. That's pretty funny.
Howard's in Amesbury. Hey, Howard.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
How you doing? So a couple of callers ago, you know, I'm 59. I just turned 59. And Hardy, by the way, happy birthday. Same day as me, March 30th.
Nice.
And so Marchand, he says he couldn't have played in the league years ago. And I love hockey. I played hockey and I can think of guys that come to mind. Butch Goring, Barry Peterson, Linsman. These guys were all small guys, and Marchand could have played in any era. It doesn't matter. He's talented. Nobody just knew it. And I think Krejci's having a decent year this year.
He has responded, but I'm talking about the entire tenure and living up to the contract when you make that type of money that guy made.
I agree. And his talent.
Yeah, you know I mean?
But Marchand... this guy came out of nowhere, but I think he could have played in any era with the way he skates, the way he moves, the way he shoots. And, you know, I mean, Linsman was a little bit of a pest, but that guy played well, and we loved him when he was on the Bruins.
I didn't hear those comments, but I don't disagree with what you're saying, Howard. I don't think that he would have not been able to play in a previous era. Here's a tweet from Jeremy Roenick. From 1:10 this morning, it says. Late. Maybe the time is off. I don't know.
I mean, he'd be West
Coast. It says, congrats to B. Marsh 63 on reaching 100 points. Then it goes into this. No matter what anyone says, this guy is awesome for the NHL.
That alone.
That just sums up exactly what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
No matter what anyone says, this guy is awesome for the NHL. Love him or hate him, no one can deny his skill and passion. I would have loved to be his teammate. Congrats, Brad. Hashtag the liquor.
Now all of a sudden, oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Stamped.
Thank you, Jeremy Roenick, for summarizing in one tweet how I feel Brad Marchand is received.
It's like the a-hole Top Gun pilot, Maverick, that's going to, you know, go out there and be frivolous, but be one of the best at what he does. You know what, Mav? I'll fly with you anytime. That's one of those damn type comments. You know the guy's nuts, but you know he's good. Hashtag the liquor.
Anytime you say it without kidding, the no matter what anyone says.
Meaning you already know what people are saying.
Right. You're not using it as a joke. You know, you use
that
joke.
Doesn't help.
I don't care what they say about you, Zoe. I love you.
That's a nice pat on the ass.
This is a legitimate use of that phrase.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice pat on the ass by Roenick, who's a damn good player, and it's nice to have that guy pat you on the back. But that also hurts Brad Marchand in the way that thing is termed.
And Roenick is a fan. Roenick's not someone that's...
I dig him. I'd play you anytime.
You'd love to have him on my team. Love to play with this
Better
guy.
Now.
And he even acknowledges, as someone who's a big fan of his skill and his passion, he has to put in there, no matter what people say about him.
It's like that with anything.
We can't deny his ability.
When you go out to make a statement, you preface it with something. That's your original thought.
Jeremy Roenick couldn't even get through congratulating the guy without throwing in the reference to the time he, you know, just started randomly licking everybody's face.
Yep. That being said, yes, yeah. I want to preface it with this. I have this thought, but I want you to believe this first. Well, we actually know what you really believe. You know what you think he's a licker. You think he's an edge guy.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden he's got talent. Now you have to recognize it. You respect him for the way he's played the game, but now you have to take it to another level because, wow, the guy's actually scoring points. He's added that dimension to his game, which is kind of neat. Neat player. Great player. I don't know if people view him that way. I think Roenick's words speak for itself.
617-779-0985. We're going to talk to the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is on the way. I do want to ask him about his April Fool's mishap. I don't know if you heard about this,
I did not.
Well, you're going to learn about his April Fool's Day joke that he played on his daughter, and then it came back to bite him by way of karma later in the day. On April Fool's Day. Definitely want to talk to him about that. But more importantly, talk to him about his team as they get closer to the playoffs. We'll talk to Brad Stevens next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens with us once again. Hi, coach.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, coach? Seems like every time we have you on these Wednesdays, it always lines up with one of those road games down in Miami. And how tough is it? You know, you're facing a team that's desperate, you know, that needs a win to get in this sucker, and you're down, you know, obviously Morris and Brown tonight. How you coach this one tonight?
Well, same old, right? I mean, I think in an 82 game NBA season, you just kind of get used to having guys out, and it seems like more often than not, you don't have your full roster available. It looked pretty good to have them all available Monday, and then Jalen just kind of had a freak deal where he just bent over to pick something up in our training facility, and literally had spasms in his back, and so. He was better yesterday a little bit worse today after the long flight. So wow. He's out again, and just kind of one of those things that you just move on to what's next. You play who's available. And you're right. We've got our hands full tonight. They're a really good team. They're a really well coached team. And this is a good experience for us because we haven't played many of these games this year where we've played the same team in consecutive games. And so this will be like a playoff game because this will be coming back. There will be a little tweaks and things that they do different. We'll have to do a few things different. And you have to go out and execute them on the road. And so this should be a good thing for us.
I was going to ask you that. You must obviously like that setup a little bit, even though it's not going to be a playoff team, just to have that back-to-back. Does it help the players as much as it may help you as a coach?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I do think, you know, it's when you can hone in on one team, even for consecutive games, that is something that's just so unique here. I mean, so often you're just moving on to a totally different way of playing or a totally different, you know, group of actions you have to defend, or certainly different personnel on each team. And until you get to the playoffs, when you can really hone in on a team, it is, our guys do a great job of going game to game like that. But I was laughing because you literally forget as a coach what happened in a game 10 days ago against someone else. Like you're just moving on. You're always moving on. And so I do think it is unique, and I do think it's good for us as we get ready for next week.
Yeah, and you talk about next week. I know you guys have played differently at home and on the road, so not to say one's better, but historically, and you've been here for a while now, how important home court is. Does the team talk about, you know, securing that home court in that round one?
You know, we don't talk about it a ton. I think everybody knows that, you know, our intention, our focus, and the way that we're going about things is we're trying to do everything we can to win the next game. And wherever that leads us, it leads us. I don't think there's any question that you prefer to have home court. There's no two ways around it. It's important. We haven't done the job all year long with regard to securing a higher seed than we're fighting for right now. So regardless, you know, if you want to achieve the ultimate goal, you're going to have to win on the road anyways. That being said, the more that you can be at home, the better. And but that doesn't guarantee anything either. I mean, we looked at it the other day, and, you know, that Pacers game the other day, that could have gone either way. And, you know, they don't miss a layup, and we miss ours. It's a totally different outcome. And so it doesn't guarantee anything, but I do think that you would prefer that.
So as you get ready for this game, you've got three more coming up on the schedule. At this point, are you most focused on health? Are you most focused on managing the minutes? And I know that's sort of the same thing. Is it, or is the seating? What's sort of your main focus over the next week?
Well, I think over the 82 games, you're always managing all of that. So, like, you're always thinking about it. That's why guys don't play 40 minutes a game in November, right? I think you have to always be focused on both that moment and the entire season. You know, in an ideal world, we go into the playoffs fully healthy so that we can use all of our different options and we can turn to all of our different options. I think one of the keys in a playoff series is being able to be flexible, being able to be malleable depending on what the other team is doing and how you're playing. And the more answers, the better. So health is a big, big part of that. I thought that was one of the things last year that I was, you know, so impressed by our guys, is we really didn't have a whole lot of different ways to turn because we were down a few bodies. And we weren't only down Kyrie and Gordon, but we were also down Tice and Smart for most of the first round and Jaylen for some of the second round. So it was we just didn't have as much flexibility. So I'm hopeful that we go in there healthy and we have answers to try to address what's hurting us.
I was driving around a couple of days ago and I heard Sean Grandy doing one of the pregame interviews with you. And he said he went to the locker room and you and your staff were standing around, you're staring at TV, and it made him nervous because he thought there was some sort of national event taking place that maybe he didn't hear about, but it was a Division II championship game, and you guys were all focused in on it. You guys are back basketball wackos with this tournament and all this other stuff going on, aren't you? And juggling
no,
what
really
you
are.
Do.
And you know what? You know what? It's great because it's, you know, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing. So when I go home at night, you know, and I want to relax, then I watch basketball. And so, like, you know, you're watching what you do all day long, right? And then, you know, what do I like to do as a fan or enjoy? I like watching college basketball. So then you're watching it even more. You're always taking something. And it's interesting, even watching, it doesn't matter the level, you know, and I took my son to a high school game to watch this year. You watch college games all year. You watch his, you know, little sixth and seventh grade AAU games. Like, there's always something, a wrinkle or something that you see that you might be able to use. And I think that that's a fun part about watching it as a fan, but also being able to apply it the very next day in your job. But yeah, we're junkies. We're wackos. We watch all those games that we can.
I believe they call that a busman's holiday.
Yeah,
when you're taking in more basketball games away.
It'd be
from
like
work.
Me going away from here, listening to radio all the time, or watching Felger and Mass,
which is exactly what Zo does.
No, but what I do, Coach, Coach, I get into the office. I don't know if you're a big Office fan, but I could sit there and watch season 7, you know, over and over again every single time.
Big Office fan.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Oh,
all right.
Excellent.
Oh, well, you and Zo could connect on that because he's watched every episode at least 5 times.
At least. Any thoughts, as long as we're talking college basketball for a second? You know,
Hardy went to Michigan State.
Hardy wants to scratch an itch.
Neither here nor there, but any thoughts on their win over Duke and their chances on Saturday?
I didn't really watch much of that game. I had it on, and I saw the very end. It seems to me that team knows who they are inside and out. You know, we've seen a bunch of teams that he's had where he's had multiple guys that have played at the next level, sometimes even leaving early. But this team just kind of seems like one of those tough-minded Michigan State teams that finds a way to win. And obviously an incredible run. And you know, it's been fun to follow from afar. They have Texas Tech, or do they have?
They have Texas Tech.
Yeah, they got Texas Tech, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all four teams are good. That'll be tough. But those guys, you know, certainly the job that he's done and continues to do, he's hard to play against, they're hard to play against, and should be fun to watch.
I have a question as we're talking about all levels of basketball, and that is, you know, I thought of this because of Michigan State. They always seem to have, even as a bigger program, they have, you know, seniors or they have veteran guys. They've got a fifth-year senior this year. Do you think there are players that benefit from staying in school and playing it all the way out, where if they had left early, they are not ready and will never really have any sort of established pro career? And you know, obviously that means mostly the NBA.
For sure.
And then they stay a couple more years and they develop into a player and they give themselves a shot by staying.
Well, they may have developed into a player by leaving early, but there are a lot of examples of guys that probably wouldn't have been given that chance to develop into a player because they would have never been drafted or never been thought of in the NBA light because they didn't get to that point until they got better as junior and seniors, or maybe they weren't held at the regard that they are when they were drafted. And I think you know, obviously the draft is always top heavy with young people because that is going to be, you know, by the time they're done with their rookie contract, they're 22 or 23. I mean, we looked at it the other day. Jason Tatum's younger than 14 of the 20 starters in the NCAA tournament. Jaylen Brown is younger than 6 of them. Like, it's pretty amazing when you think those are second and third year NBA players. But there's plenty of great examples. Draymond Green jumps off the page, right? He's a Michigan State guy. He stayed. He got better. He was still drafted in the second round and way undervalued, but has really, really performed. Malcolm Brogdon from Virginia probably wasn't considered to be, after his sophomore year, a guy that would have been drafted high. He stays. He also gets passed up and not picked till the second round. He's Rookie of the Year. So many great examples of that. And I think that you're always on the lookout for guys that have stayed and gotten better, because ultimately that's what you want your guys to do when they get here.
I did want to ask you before we let you go. I just filled Zoe in on what happened to you on April Fool's.
I can't believe you did this.
And I know the short version is you told your
dad
about the pipe bursting at school and that there was no school that day.
And then a pipe
burst in your office?
Literally. How about this?
What are the odds of that?
No, I think it's karma. It turns out you're not supposed to do that to your 9-year-old.
Yeah, you're sick.
So what'd you do?
No, it's serious. So I just told her the pipe burst. She came running down the stairs, and then the look on her face after I told her it was April Fool's made me feel like, you know, not so great as a dad.
She was thinking there was no school. She was going to have a day off.
Oh, great, yeah. And you know, I got a great kick out of it until I saw her face. And that's when I knew that I had flunked fatherhood 101. And then I walk into the garden, and literally the above my office, a pipe has burst. And I was told what kind of pipe it was, but it smelled awful.
So it wasn't a water pipe. It was a sewage pipe.
I don't know what it was. All I know is I didn't stay in my office. I didn't go in my office the rest of the day. I hung out in a back room as we got ready for Miami. But I'm done.
Gross.
I'm done trying to make jokes on April Fool's Day. I think my time has passed.
Did you Unreal. Lose anything important to you, like memorabilia or anything irreplaceable?
No, it just I don't think so. I don't know if it was just one tile or what the case was, but maybe it was just a leak. I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, it was not a good place to sit. So I didn't sit there.
All right, Coach. Good luck tonight.
Coach, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Save your April Fool's jokes for older people.
Yeah, we'll do.
That's a good one. You're crazy. Right. Thank you.
Thanks. See ya. Coach Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
He's got a little wacko in him. I appreciate that. Yeah.
He tells his 9-year-old, no school today, pipe burst, April Fool's.
Do you know what that's like as an 8 or 9-year-old kid thinking you don't have school?
When you think of a pipe bursting, you also don't think of, you think of a water pipe.
Water pipe.
Because they're pressurized pipes,
but
you don't typically
even
think
just
of
a normal water pipe can smell if there's like stagnant water in it.
Right?
Really?
Sewer pipe?
Oh yeah.
If it were a sewer pipe, if it were raw sewage in there, I don't think he'd be back in his office anymore.
Well, if it was a leaky, just a crack in the pipe.
Wow, imagine
leaky poop pipe.
A couple of years ago, I told one of my April Fools was on a Saturday.
It'd take much smell. Like that doesn't take much smell.
Just a little bit of that coming out of the ceiling. Yuck.
I got Calvin ready for school one morning and drove him to school on April Fool's Day. But that was like the opposite. We got there and the school was closed, and I said, April Fools, you don't have school today. That was same thing, but
that's
we reversed
like reverse psychology.
That was on a Saturday?
April Fool's was on a Saturday, and I drove him to school anyway.
I'd kind of look at him a little differently, thinking that he actually had school on Saturday then.
Well, you know, he was 4 at the time, or 5 maybe. I don't know.
Does he know what today
go back,
is?
Go
How
back.
Old is he right now?
I don't know.
What is he, 10? He's 9.
He's 8.
He's 8. Does he know today's Tuesday?
Wait, well, today is Wednesday.
Jesus.
How old are you, Zo?
I should do headlines.
What's your age?
And Brad Stevens said something I want to touch on coming back.
Okay, we'll
I want to do some more Celtics.
All right, 90 seconds.
Okay.
We'll talk some more basketball.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.